from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back. It's Red Friday, and this is Locked On Chiefs getting you ready for the playoff game against the Tennessee Titans. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and an analyst over at Chiefs Digest. Want to give you a little heads up on a little bit of news. We have Mark Schofield with us today. We're going to intro him here in a minute, but also want to remind you that Mark did a great in-depth film analysis of Pat Mahomes, and it's up at LockedOnChiefs.com. I'll put a link here into the show notes, but go check that out. It's great for the conversation that's coming down the pike today. Want to hit a couple of topics that have come to light. Philip Gaines has gone to IR. Marcus Kemp is back on the roster. CJ Spiller has returned. A little bit of churn here as we go through some of the injuries. A couple of things to be concerned about. It looks like Albert Wilson is going to play against these Titans. It looks like Raheem Nunez-Roches may not. Not practicing. He may have an outside chance. Looks like Tamba Hali is going to play. Bunch of updates with some of the status on guys that we really just needed to nail down. Looks like Jarvis Jenkins is going to be questionable as well, but they feel like he might be able to play. One other interesting note is the Chiefs are going back to Western Missouri. They will be back in St. Joe for training camp, so that's something to look forward to. I think everyone has enjoyed the training camps up there, and they are going to be back one more time. So make your plans now. That's what the state of what's going on there. As far as looking at this game, we're going to review some of the things with Mark Schofield because we had a chance to talk to him, and he is such a quarterback guru. We wanted to go over the Mahomes film. We're going to talk some Tennessee Titans as well, so why don't we get started?
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs, and we have a special guest. Mark Schofield is joining us. Mark, thank you for coming on.
Gentlemen, pleasure to be back with you guys. It's been an entire season. I talked with you guys right before week one, and then – and then I had to duck you guys for a little while because that week would match up.
It was
a little rough from this side of the table. It was a little rough. But good to be back with you guys. A happy new year to both of you.
And you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we have plenty to talk about.
We do.
I don't remember off the top of my head where you were at on the quarterback class pre-draft. But I know that there was anticipation pretty much to see what was going to happen with this kid that they took out of Texas Tech. Did you get to see the game or check the film? What was your impression of Pat Mahomes?
Yeah, I actually sat down today and broke down what Mahomes did against Denver. And as somebody that sort of looked at him as – you know, I had done, you know, tape work with Matt Waldman on him. We had done a film room with him. And, you know, Matt and I were basically just kind of laughing and giggling half the time we were watching it just because there were things that Mahomes was doing in college that we hadn't seen quarterbacks do. You know, just ridiculous throws that were like Farvian in nature because there's this like innate sort of confidence level that he has in his arm that was unparalleled at the time. And we saw that again on Sunday against Denver. And you know, and going through his game, I know numbers-wise, it wasn't perfect, but I think there was a ton to really be excited about from him, and not just the ridiculous arm talent that he has, which he does have, but the ability to sort of move in the pocket. Some of the reads and some of the throws, you know, from the pocket were just incredible. Did he make mistakes? Sure. Were there risky throws that he made? Yeah, but that's the kind of stuff that you're going to have to live with Pat Mahomes. But I got to say, I was excited watching it for you guys and for the future of the NFL in general. Because if you think about it now, you've got, you know, with him potentially taking over next year, which is a huge possibility, I think, with Deshaun Watson coming back, what we've seen from Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, you know, we were wondering when we were going to get sort of that next class of quarterbacks, and I think we've finally got that young group of talented QBs in place now, and it's going to be fun to watch these guys over the next couple of years.
All right, so we have talked about Pat Mahomes a lot this week, and I don't mind spending some time on him, but I have to ask the question, for somebody that studies QBs and has a lot of knowledge into that aspect of the NFL, a lot more so than Ryan or I can even begin to go with, what were your thoughts on the basics of playing QB, the fundamentals that people really thought he was going to have to really work on going into this season to be an NFL QB?
I mean, I think, you know, coming into the league, there are questions like, look, can he do the things that you need an NFL quarterback? Or would we, I don't want to say need, but people expect an NFL quarterback to do, like, you know, footwork in the pocket and going through progression reads and things like that. Can he sort of clean up the mechanics a little bit? You know, the mechanics and stuff like that, they're still a little wild, I'd say. But with his arm talent, it doesn't matter. You know, and same thing with his footwork. Like, it's still – it's not, you know, precision Brad Kaya, Andrew Luck-type robotic quarterback play. He's a more fluid athlete playing the position. It's not perfect. You wouldn't, you know, put him on tape and then put it in front of a group of high school kids and say, this is how you play the quarterback position. But he can get away with it because his processing speed is far ahead of where I think people gave him credit for coming out of Texas Tech. People looked at him coming out of Texas Tech and said, look, he runs a one read, spreads air raid type offense and doesn't make a ton of decisions, which was the wrong way to sort of look at him. And you saw it early. I mean, early in this game against Denver, making quick reads from the pocket, making up his mind, being decisive, going through progression reads, manipulating defenders. You saw all that sort of stuff against Denver, and it was stuff that he did at Texas Tech. And so I think in terms of the pure sort of mechanical structure of playing the position, he's rough around the edges. He's unrefined, but he can do it with that sort of unrefined structure to him because of the mental component which he has combined with the elite level arm talent which he has. When you put those two things together, he could do things that a lot of the other quarterbacks will never be able to do.
And real quick, I just got to ask a follow-up question. Do you think he improved on the mechanics part of it? I understand he can do things that because of his arm talent, but do you think he looked like he did better than he was in college? Noticeable improvement there.
Yeah, I thought he was much cleaner in that regard. Again, not perfect or anything like that, but much better from where he was at Texas Tech, because at Texas Tech, you know, there were times when the ball was all over the place. He'd have the ball around his knees when he was scrambling in his pocket. It just seemed like he had definitely sort of made that effort to clean things up a bit. It's a process, and there will be times like on that spinning turnaround throw late in the game to Harris that could have got intercepted. It was dropped where, you know, the ball dropped a bit as he'd be spinning around and things like that. There will be times in the moment when he might revert to that. But on the whole, I do think it was much cleaner.
Well, and from being one who on my draft board, he was my 1B. I had Deshaun Watson above him. And I'm starting to think, and it sounds like you might agree with me, that I have to seriously consider that I was wrong and that Pat Mahomes may be the guy who takes over as being the top of this class.
Yeah, it's possible. And I was in the same boat. I mean, I had Watson and Mahomes. And, you know, I think, you know, with respect to Deshaun Watson, there were things that he did this year that were great. I mean, obviously, he comes out and throws 19 touchdown passes, but still made some mistakes, still at times was lazy with his eyes, would stare down receivers, would lead defenders to the football with his eyes, would make throws late in the play over the middle, which is, you know, your sort of proverbial like thing you don't do, but he would do that. On this one game that we saw from Mahomes, I think there's definitely the potential for, if he starts the next year as the starting quarterback in Kansas City, for him to possibly overtake Deshaun Watson, depending on what Watson can do and how that situation plays out down in Houston. It's going to be fun to see these two kids play in the AFC, man. I mean, it's going to be a ton of fun to watch those two guys go at it. But there's definitely that potential, yeah.
Well, on the other side of that is Watson came in a lot more refined and a lot more pro-ready, I think, than Mahomes did. I just think the talent there is a lot different, and the arm is completely different as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I think Deshaun Watson's arm is better than he gets credit for. I think people heard that 49-mile-per-hour number, and they start to think that, oh, my God, the guy can't throw a football to save his life. I think that was kind of overstated a little bit. But, you know, let's be clear here. You know, Patrick Mahomes has arm talent that we haven't seen in a while. And, you know, when you add in the other stuff too, because, like, you know, there were guys coming out of college like Jeff George that could throw the football through a brick wall, but he didn't have the rest of the stuff. Watson's got a lot of the rest of the stuff you need to play quarterback in the NFL. This just adds to it.
I think the key for me is that he's sat back, he's been quiet, he's been the student. And for as different as he is from Alex Smith, I enjoy the comments that he's made about getting input from Smith both during the game and the week preceding it. He seems to have grown into the theory that, you know, the quarterback room helps you develop a game plan every week. It's not just the one guy. I think he sees the NFL as a bigger picture now. And I think that's really the key for his growth going forward. I'm just worried if it's one of those things where if a guy like Matt Nagy takes a job outside of the organization, if that's something that can sidetrack his development at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. Again, you know, sitting here on January 2nd, you know, who knows how the future plays out with Nagy and what he might do this offseason. But, you know, from what we've seen from Mahomes, not just over the course of the season, but even going back to his days at Texas Tech. And I remember, you know, when I was on with you guys in the preseason talking about Mahomes and him potentially playing at some point, you know, talking about how, you know, Cliff Kingsbury down in Texas Tech put a ton on his plate. You know, from a read progression offense with a lot of option routes and adjustments that would have to be made on the fly, gave him the ability to change protections and things like that. So you could tell that even coming out of Texas Tech, he was going to be a student of the game type quarterback, that he was going to learn and absorb information from all, you know, coaches and everybody around him. And so I'm not surprised, you know, that he was able to do that in the NFL. And obviously, you got to give credit, I think, to Alex Smith, because a lot of guys in that situation, when you are the starting quarterback, but you know that they've drafted your replacement, you might sort of be a little standoffish. You might not really warm to that kind of environment. But from everything we've seen, Smith has gone the opposite direction, has really sort of, you know, taken Mahomes under his wing a bit, and they've, you know, used that quarterback room environment, which as somebody that's been in that, even though it was just, you know, small school Division III type stuff, it helps. You know, it helps when you're a backup like I was and the starting quarterback is hurt and you're the guy for that week and he's in there with you and in there on the sidelines and helping you and bouncing ideas off of you and telling you what to look for. It definitely helps. It makes you a better player. It helps you when you're on the field because so many different things are going on and sometimes you forget things, but it helps to have that extra voice. And so, yeah, I think that's a really good point about Mahomes this year, and it speaks well to whenever he takes over the starting gig, how he'll be able to acclimate to that sort of situation and environment.
I have to ask one last question on Mahomes. And this is something that I'll admit I didn't do enough research to know. Do you remember looking back at his draft profile? Was he considered a major leader at Texas Tech? Is that something that he had as part of his skill set? Because that's one thing that I don't know. It kind of stuck out to me this past week. They named him a team captain. He broke the team down before the game. You don't see that from Alex Smith. He doesn't. That's not the type of leadership Alex Smith has. Is that something that I'm reading too much into, or is that something that you think Mahomes will grow into as he progresses in this in the league? Because I know you have to somewhat earn that as well.
Yeah, and I think coming out of Texas Tech, he was sort of looked at as a leader of that team. And, you know, that usually happens at the collegiate level. The quarterback's looked at to be that guy when you get to the NFL. Sometimes it goes in a different direction because of the talent across the board, you know, from the entire 53-man roster. But I think with Mahomes, the fact that he was, you know, picked to break the team down, you know, picked as a captain this week, I think that was a recognition of some of the stuff that we've been talking about here today, which is, you know, the fact that he sort of came into this situation and really did a good job, not just in the quarterback room, but there was that great piece by, I believe it was Therese, somebody wrote it, I forget whom, about how he – yeah, exactly. About how he ran the scout team this year and did such a great job, you know, giving the Kansas City starting defense a look at the quarterback position, you know, to the point where even the defense was kind of like, we're not going to face somebody this good this week. Like, you got to kind of dial it back a bit. I thought that was a great piece. And it just, so I think the fact that he was picked a captain, the fact that he was, as you said, you know, picked to break the team down, it was kind of a recognition of sorts of everything that Mahomes had done this year. And, you know, when you come in as a first round draft pick, the team trades up to get you, but then you spend your year doing that for your team, that's going to win guys over. You know, it's not like you just sort of sat there during practice with a clipboard or a hat on and just kind of watched. Like, he went out and made his team better. And that rubs off on guys, and guys will see that and respond to that and take well to that. So I think there, that shows you right there that this kid's going to be a team player and he's going to be a team leader.
And we're going to see that eventually, but for the near future, we have to look at these playoff matchups. And interesting group that got here, this matchup with the Chiefs against the Titans. Obviously the Patriots had the week off. Congratulations to them, but First, I want to ask you, how surprised are you that it's not Baltimore playing in here?
I am pretty surprised. I mean, all Baltimore had to do was beat a Bengals team that had basically, you know, at least before week 16, had decided it seemed like they had just hung it up. They had given up. I mean, that game against Minnesota in week 15, they couldn't cover people. The secondary was just running around. Case Keenum was lighting them up. It just seemed like they had folded up tents and were ready to go home. But then, to their credit, the Bengals come out in the past 2 weeks, and what do? They knock the Lions out of the playoffs, and then they go on the road and they knock Baltimore out of the playoffs on a 4th and 12? 4th and 13. So, I mean,
right. Yeah. And how crazy is it? Because it looks like that probably got Marvin Lewis another 2 years in Cincinnati.
That got him another two years. I mean, man, I don't know. I don't know what he has to do to get fired, yeah. But apparently he hasn't done it yet. But I'm stunned that Baltimore didn't get in. But, you know, credit to, you know, both Buffalo, obviously they needed some help and they got it, and Tennessee for taking care of business on the final weekend. So it's a really interesting. This is a really, really intriguing wild card weekend, I think, in both conferences. I think we're set for some really, really good games, I think.
I agree. I look over at the NFC and all those teams from the South having played each other on and off. And I think, honestly, the Rams are probably at the peak of any of the four of them, in my opinion. How do you see this weekend going for the NFC?
I mean, that's really tough. That's really tough. And you get the sense that, you know, the familiarity we've seen with some of these teams playing each other, you know, that's going to play into it, I think. I'm really intrigued because, you know, you saw with the Rams, you saw the way they sort of, you know, they didn't play their guys at the end of the season. They didn't play their guys in week 17. So it almost seems like they're trying to set things up for, you know, maybe we get, you know, a shot at somebody down the road. So, but it didn't plan out that way. It almost seemed like they were playing for four, but they didn't get it.
So let's get back to the AFC picture here.
You know, with respect to, I think the game between the Panthers and the Saints, it's hard to see how the Panthers can really sort of overcome the offensive deficiencies that they've had the past couple of weeks. Because they've struggled offensively. Cam Newton is struggling to find guys downfield. And so with what the Saints can do right now, I kind of give Carolina the edge there.
What are you thinking? And let's get back to the AFC. What are you thinking is going to go on with the Chiefs and the Titans? This looks like to be a very interesting matchup, mainly because, assuming DeMarco Murray plays, that is one of the Chiefs' downfalls this season is rushing defense. So how do you see that one playing out?
Yeah, I think running backs are going to be a huge focus in this game. I mean, as you said, look, the Kansas City run defense, in terms of DVOA over at Football Outsiders, they're last in the league, you know, in run defense right now. Conversely, Titans are pretty good against the run. They're pretty good in terms of DVOA against the run. But one thing to watch, though, they struggle covered running backs out of the backfield. In terms of DVOA against running backs as receivers, they're dead last in the league. And so I think if you're Andy Reid, if you're Matt Nagy, if you're looking ahead to game plan against this Tennessee Titans defense, you want to get Kareem Hunt involved in the pass game. You want to do that early. You want to kind of use him as a receiving threat. You look back at week 16, Todd Gurley had two catches for touchdowns in that game. One, a quick little route in the end zone, in the red zone, where they ran a bunch concept, got him into the flat. That broke open rather quickly. And then later in the game, that screen pass, an 80-yard screen pass where they dialed it up against a blitz right away. So I think if you're the Chiefs, you look at getting Kareem Hunt involved as a receiver out of the backfield. I think that's a way to really sort of put some stress on that Titans defense, which has been okay against the run, not as great against the pass, but when you can get Kareem Hunt involved, when you can get running backs involved, that's put some stress on the Titans defense over the course of this season.
Well, and Kareem Hunt's certainly shown that he can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. Kind of had a pretty big play the first week of the season. So
yeah, he did.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
I was if you weren't going to bring it up, I was going to have to. I mean, I haven't forgotten that one.
Yeah, great play. that's the rushing offense rushing versus their rushing defense and vice versa. How do you think the quarterback play, because Marcus Mariota has really struggled this season for the Titans.
Yeah, he definitely regressed this year. And, you know, I'm sitting here as somebody that when this season started, I was looking at Mariota to really sort of make that leap this year, but it never really happened. Part of it, I think, you know, he did have the hamstring injury. He did miss one game. I think as you got into, you know, when he came back from that injury, it seemed like the lower body wasn't quite there for him. It seemed like he was still struggling to get, you know, velocity on his throws. He was struggling to drive the football. But at times down the stretch, he's been able to do that. And then when you couple that with some of his ability as a runner, obviously we all remember the stiff arm that he put on Barry Church in week 17 just a couple of days ago to help win that game. He's still a threat as a runner, but it was a step back for him. I think if you're the Chiefs defensively, you want to make him make quick decisions. You don't want to give him a chance to extend plays with his feet. You want to kind of make him be a quarterback, make throws from the pocket. They don't have a ton of weapons right now. You know, in the pass game, in the downfield pass game, it's been spotty for them. So if that's what you force them to do, you're going to be okay against them defensively.
Well, and forcing them is what I'm looking at, because I see the primetime matchup in this game as two former teammates head-to-head in Derrick Henry and Reggie Ragland in the run game. And I think if you can slow down, you're not going to stop him, but if you can slow down Henry, I think that makes them get to that point where they're one-dimensional. And like you said, in a dimension that they don't have a whole lot of weapons to help out the quarterback.
Yeah, and this is one of those games where I think first down is going to be pivotal. You know, because when the Titans have the football, if they can get into second and four, second and five type situations, if they can, you know, get 5 or 6 yards on first down in the ground game, you know, that keeps their playbook open. They can do some of the things they like to do with Mario. They can do some of the zone read stuff. You know, they can do some of the RPO stuff where you still have to respect the run. But if they're in sort of second and nine, third and eight type situations where they're not getting a lot of yardage on first down, that really puts them behind schedule. And the Titans are a team that sort of need to be on schedule because it keeps their playbook open. When they get sort of turned into, like you said, a one-dimensional downfield type passing team, that's when they've tended to struggle this year. I mean, when you look at, you know, Mariota's numbers, I mean, adjusted net yards per attempt of only 5.51, 22nd in the league, that's not great. And so it's a situation where if you can keep the Titans behind the chains a bit as an offense, you're going to be that much better off, you know, in terms of getting off the field on third down and getting the ball back to Alex Smith, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill.
Well, and from what you've seen from Alex Smith this season, obviously he had a great game against the Patriots the week one, played very well for the first 5 weeks of the season, and then hit a little bit of a lull. What have you seen that has really changed from that lull that he hit midseason? Because he's looked a lot better the last three games he's played.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely sort of had that midseason sort of lull where I think he regressed a little bit to the Alex Smith that we had seen in years prior where, you know, and I remember talking with you guys, you know, on Twitter earlier in the year when he was in the midst of that hot stretch to start the season when he was aggressive. He was taking those risks downfield. He was, you know, taking those chances that he hadn't seen Alex Smith take before. But then sort of in the middle of the season, teams started to do more in terms of, you know, sometimes they would play a little more cover two and try to constrict the throw-in windows a little bit more. And he wasn't challenging those windows downfield. And that's when you started to see a little bit of that lull. But what happened over the past couple of weeks was kind of, I think, twofold. One, they started running the ball better. And I think that really sort of helped Kansas City sort of reestablish their identity with what they were doing on the early half of the season. I mean, in that sort of stretch where they lost, I think, you know, what was it, 6 of 7 or so, there were games where they were, you know, they held to 68 yards against the Cowboys in a loss, held to 55 yards in a loss to the Bills. I mean, when the run game isn't a factor at all, you know, that sort of allows the team to, you know, play more cover two. You don't have to drop that safety down into the box. And then it constricts those throwing windows. It takes those opportunities downfield away, or it makes them riskier so Smith doesn't take them. You check the ball down more, and then you're walking off the field on third down having a punt. But when you get that ground game going a bit, teams might have to start playing a little bit more man, dropping that safety down to the box from time to time. It makes those throwing lanes a little bit easier to hit, gives you more opportunities downfield. And Smith was then able to take advantage of those again down the final stretch of the final few weeks of the season.
Well, I look at these matchups, and what do you expect to happen in this matchup? Do you think that the Chiefs get past them?
Yeah, yeah. I think this is a game that, that Kansas City wins. And, you know, part of it is, look, the Titans are basically coming off a playoff game, you know, because this that was a win-and-get-in type situation for them basically for the past 2 weeks, where I think the ability to sort of rest most of their guys last week is going to help Kansas City because, you know, you're in a situation where you're out at the end of the season. Nobody's fully healthy, but the chance to get that extra sort of week of rest, it does make a difference, number one. Number two, I think looking at this matchup and some of the stuff we've talked about, I don't think it's really the best sort of matchup for the Titans to sort of pull off an upset type win because, you know, this is a situation where, you know, they're going to struggle doing the things that they want to do. I think Kansas City, yeah, the run defense isn't great, but this is a team that doesn't really have a dynamic sort of diverse running game. I think the Chiefs will be able to do enough to sort of slow down Tennessee, you know, do the things I talked about where you can hold them to small gains on first down, and then you force the Titans to have to play behind the sticks, which is something they didn't want to do. And I think when you look to then to the outside, any sort of ability for the Titans to get going in the pass game, I just don't see the ability for the Titans receivers to really get consistent separation in the secondary, the type that they'll need for Marcus Mariota to make plays down the field. So I think this game sort of fits into what, you know, the Chiefs want to do on both sides of the football. And then when you flip things around and you look at when the Chiefs have the ball, Tennessee, you know, they've struggled against the pass. They've struggled covering receivers out of the backfield. You know, there have been times when they've struggled covering tight ends out of the backfield as well. I mean, in DVOA, they're 24th in the league against tight ends. And so that sets up rather nicely for what Matt Nagy, Alex Smith want to do in the passing game. Yeah, you're going to take your deep shots and stuff with Tyreek Hill. But, you know, when you've got Travis Kelce over the middle, when you can get stuff schemed for Kareem Hunt, you know, areas where the Titans are weak defensively, I think this whole game just sets up really nicely for Kansas City.
All right, so you're expecting that Kansas City is going to move on to the divisional round. Who do you think that they're going to end up playing? Are you thinking that they're going to end up going to New England?
I think so. I mean, you look at that game between Jacksonville and Buffalo. You know, obviously a lot of it really rests on the ankle of LeSean McCoy. You know, if he's less than 100%, I really think he will be. You know, they were worried about x-rays and stuff like that and him possibly missing this game. It's going to be tough to see Buffalo to go down there with a less than 100% LeSean McCoy against that defense and come out with a win. The only way they can possibly do it is if Blake Bortles is the Blake Bortles we've seen over the last 2 weeks and not the Blake Bortles we've seen over the bulk of this season, because Bortles has actually been okay for the most part this year. But over the last 2 weeks, he's been the bad Blake Bortles. If you get that kind of performance from him, Buffalo can pull this out. But I just don't think that that's going to happen. You know, I think it's going to be a situation where Jacksonville wins this game in what might be sort of an ugly defensive-looking type game. But I think Jacksonville does win that, you know, setting up Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, then a week one rematch with you guys and us again.
That's the way I see it, too, and hopefully we have a chance to talk if that is the way it works out.
Of course.
I have to ask another question along those lines. Who do you think wins if it is Pitt and Jacksonville?
That's going to be a really interesting game. I mean, obviously those two teams played earlier this year. Roethlisberger threw the 5 picks, and it was a blowout for Jacksonville. But that was a different sort of Steelers team back then. That was a Steelers team that was sort of struggling to find – sort of their niche, find their identity as an offense. I think they're a much better offensive team right now. Of course, the question mark there is, will they have Antonio Brown back? I'd expect him to be back for that. But if they do, you know, I'd see Pittsburgh winning that game.
Well, I hope that comes to pass. And I appreciate all your time. Thanks for being with us tonight. It's great talking to you again.
It's fantastic talking to you guys. Always a pleasure. Good luck this weekend, guys. I'm hoping to see you guys next weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having another conversation about that week one rematch. So.
Me too, guys. Me too.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
And folks, we'll be back with you. Enjoy the game. We'll have post game for you. Maybe on a little bit different schedule, but thanks for listening to us today, and we will talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.